Hey everyone, this is Stelly Efty.
And this is Heaton Shah.
And in today's episode, we're going to talk about SEO.
Search Engine Optimization.
Okay, thank you.
I think we like talking about more than just sales and marketing.
We just want to bullshit and chat about business and life. And hopefully, while we're doing that, provide a lot of value to people.
The world's best business podcast.
Oh, shit. We got it.
For people trying to get shit done.
Done, yeah. We don't want to give you feedback that's bullshit.
And we want you to do your best.
This is how this episode's going to work. I'm going to be, the person that asked the question because I don't know shit about it. And then Heaton is going to clarify and give us clarity on everything. So here's the thing. This is a topic that's been on our list of things to talk about, tactical things, since day one.
Yeah, it has.
We've never really gotten around to it because Heaton is a real expert in it. But because he's done so much of it, not necessarily the number one thing he always wants to talk about. And lots of people ask him about this. So I try to be respectful and leave him alone. Also, to be fair and honest, it's not the thing I'm most curious about on this planet. Like, it's not something that drives me, you know. So it was not the number one thing I'm pushing for. But there's two things that made me want to talk about this a little bit more. One is when I was in Europe, I was on a sailing trip. And one of my friends, or one of the people that I've become closer to over the last few years, has a side business that he grew purely through SEO.
Cool.
And knows a lot about it. Now he runs a bigger startup and does a lot of SEO there as well. Mm. And he was just brainstorming with lots of other people about it. Mm. And as he was talking about it and thinking about it, I found myself like leaning in and going, oh, that's interesting. I didn't know that. That's kind of cool. And I was like, oh, this is such an interesting area I know nothing about. And then I know that, some of this topic, just for whatever reason, might also be more relevant for some of the things you're involved with right now.
Sure.
So, and the other thing is, as I've been helping and working with more and more startups in Europe, especially in Germany, one interesting thing I've learned over the past year is that the German startup scene has an unusually high level of competency in SEO. It's like German startups are like e-commerce startups. Like, they're really good in e-commerce and they're really good at SEO. You know, I grew up in Germany. I didn't know that. So it's a topic I don't know much about. I know a lot of people are building their side businesses and their bootstrap or self-funded businesses around that. And I know that for venture-funded startups and in Silicon Valley itself, it's not as big of a topic. At least it's not as public of a topic.
Yeah.
So let's talk about it, right? So SEO, search engine optimization, the simple concept as far as I understand it is you make sure that your website's pages, your content and your blog, whatever it is written in a way and created in a way that makes search engines think that it's really relevant to certain search queries and that a lot of sites that have a lot of credibility link to these pages and these sites, right? And then what happens is you get a lot of traffic, hopefully, relevant traffic for free from search engines, mainly Google, probably. So there's been a lot of talk about like black hat SEO, white hat SEO, what's fair, what's not fair. Google apparently is changing things a lot, and there were some big updates in the past where like a ton of sites lost all their traffic. They were building huge businesses based on pure like SEO play. Today, if I'm an entrepreneur, I run a startup, and I want to use SEO to get good traffic and grow my business. What are kind of the ABCs and best practices you would share? Like, just do these four things that everybody needs to do, and then we could talk about the more like cutting edge new shit that's cool, or maybe the stuff that's going on right now a bit later. But what are the ABCs that you think every startup should know these things? This is so obvious to you, but you still see a lot of people not doing it.
Sure. So you're right. You need content and you need links. And over time, the way you do those two things has evolved and changed. But all it is you need content on a website, ideally lots of it if your play is search, and you need links. Historically, you used to have to do keywords all over the page and all this stuff. If you just think about it, that was like rudimentary and pretty basic for Google to figure out you were like faking it. Mm. Right?
Yeah.
So now you can't fake it. So the first thing I'll say is in modern times, you can't really fake it. You can't go put like the keyword, you know, sales hacking 10 times on the page and expect to get ranked for sales hacking, right?
Yeah.
You have to actually create content that's great so that people link to it.
Yeah.
Right? And back in the day, you know, you could email a lot of people. You know, I still get emails today like, hey, on your blog, you know, this is like a, honestly, this is great. This is like a woodworking company or something. And they email me and say, on your marketing blog, right, you should add this link. Right. So that still happens. Right. Wow. And that's what used to work. I mean, I get these all the time. It's me. I don't even run these blogs anymore. I'm like, I'm getting these emails. Right? Right. So they're just hunting and finding. And it's a numbers game. You blast a ton of emails out there and some of them give you the link and you're happy. And they're right, probably picking links based on either relevancy or high page rank, as they used to call it, and all that kind of stuff. So that's how it used to work, right? So it was like you create some content, stuff it with some keywords, and then you find a way to get links. And the most popular way was ask people. That still works. It's just more sophisticated now, right? Like you want to ask people that are targeted, right? If you're going to do the outreach thing. And it's still effective. I'm not – the SEOs would kill me if I said it wasn't effective. Right. Or maybe they'll kill me for saying it is effective.
All right.
You just have to do it better. You shouldn't be emailing a marketing blog about links for a woodworking site, right?
Right?
So you can figure out how all that works. There's also certain types of sites like EDUs, education sites that hold more weight in Google.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes nonprofits do as well. And there's a whole bunch of these, right, that are out there. So you might try to hit those up, right? But when you start thinking about the link building and all that, it's literally how many people are linking to you? How organic does it look or is it, right? Organic meaning like natural. That someone wanted to link to you, right? And then the other side of it is the content has to be good enough that because, you know, Google has Google Analytics and you've probably got it on your site, not even probably, there's 100% chance you have it on your site, they're able to see things like the bounce rate, right? And the time on site. Now, even if you don't prescribe to the theory that they're using that data in search, okay, fine. They still know, let's just play it out. A person types in sales hacking. Sorry, I'm just picking out that because it was easy. So they type in sales hacking. They see close.io as like number two result. They click on it and then they bounce back and they click on the number one. Now you know why close.io is number two.
Right.
Right? It's this behavior that Google knows even if they don't have Google Analytics on your site. Right? Or if you didn't add it because they know you came back to the search result and you didn't get what you wanted.
You didn't get what you want.
And then you went to some other link. And so over time, they learned that. And the reason they learned that is they have all the search volume. So yes, it is Google.
Mm.
Nobody else is going to bring you traffic the way Google does. And you're talking like 90%+ of search traffic, probably 99% now is Google. There are things like DuckDuckGo and even Microsoft's Bing and all that, but they're not driving traffic to sites. Part of it, the reason is just everyone uses Google. The other part of the reason is that Google's system is damn good at getting anybody what they want as fast as possible compared to any of the alternatives, right? So that's kind of a high level of like, things that have changed. The change is that Google is now able to think about behavior, user behavior, what people are clicking on from search results, what they're not clicking on. They're even looking at Google Analytics data and saying, is your site relevant for this? All they're trying to do in the most simplest terms is find the most relevant content for that for each query. That's it.
Right.
Right. If they could get away with giving you the one, they would, except they need to make money. So they have the ads and whatnot. So we won't get into that part of it, right? So what's changed now? And what any company should be thinking about is there's basics. All the stuff you talk about on-page SEO, it isn't about setting the keywords up right necessarily, but it's just about some best practices that Google has now put out there. How many characters do you need in the meta description? Should you have meta keywords or not? The answer is no, because they don't care. They're going to read the keywords on the page. You don't really need that. Maybe you need it for some other search engine. Again, they're not important. You don't need it for Google. Then there's things like don't put all these weird query strings in your URL. Make it so it's human readable.
Mm.
So everything should be human readable. That's a good way to think about it, including your URL. So when you first install WordPress, like let's say if you have a blog, like and you're installing yourself, your engineers are whatever, or even you're using WP Engine or something, there's an option of, show, you know, mysite.com/?=1234 page ID, whatever crap.
Yeah,
that's not gonna work.
Yeah.
What you want is mysite.com/sales-hacking/. Right?
Yeah.
And that's human readable, right? And that's Google readable too because it's human readable. So it's really important to structure, you know, your URL correctly. Everything else, meta description, all that, they can be adjusted and fixed. This is where like I go at it with a lot of engineers, right? There's also other little issues like should it be /12345-saleshacker? I'm like, hell no. That's not human readable. No human can type that in, right?
Yeah.
And Google would prefer the one without all those numbers. And then the engineer's like, well, what if I have two things for sales hacking, blah, 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 especially on like community sites. So sometimes you have to add it to the end or just do -1 or -2 or what usually it's no one and it's just like -2 or -3. You look at Yelp and stuff, they've done stuff like this. Yelp would be a good example of just looking at the way they're doing their links and getting a good idea of how this works. Another good example is go to Facebook's directory. They actually have a directory. Go to facebook.com, log the fuck out. I know you're logged in. And then go find their little directory and go look at all the people they have in there and how they structure all of that between the directory and the directory listings, all that. Not to say you do that, but that should give you a good idea of how you should have just simple best practices without even anyone telling you or you're reading some SEO crap, right? It's pretty basic.
Yeah.
Right? So that one's really critical. Everything else, like changing, if you have too many words in the meta description or they're duplicate across your whole site and all that, that all needs to be resolved, but you don't need to worry about that in the beginning if you're just trying to get it done and then do something else in your business while you work on that later. And the reason I say that is some facts. Most sites we've looked at in our businesses, we have a lot of access to a bunch of Google Analytics authentications because we're building a bunch of tools around helping people increase traffic. What we've learned is that on average, any site gets, not average, but any site gets about 30 to 80, maybe even 90% of their traffic from Google in the long run. And I've done some decks on some of this stuff and analyzed some of this data. But at the end of the day, Google search, if you have a website, is probably one of the, not probably, it is the number one most important channel you can have. And the reason is like, if you have a new website and you start creating content and then you start getting links into it and you get a little bit of search traffic and you keep writing content and you keep getting links, you not only get new search traffic for the new content, your old traffic also starts getting more attention because Google considers your site more of an authority and more relevant for the topic that your site's all about. So it's the gift that keeps on paying, but it might not pay the way social or the way paid acquisition might in the beginning. But when you know that in the long run, 40, 50, 60% of your traffic is going to come from search, you have to make those investments early, or you're going to make them later and then have to wait even longer, right? Investments are just simply, you know, proper URL structure, making sure people are linking to deeper pages on your site, these really simple, relatively simple things. So that's kind of the simple ways to think about it. This is actually why like many SaaS products have a blog, because it fits a lot of criteria. You're always going to create new content there. Mm-hmm. You can make the permalink structure pretty clean and flexible and like, you know, work along the lines of this, and you have full control over it, mm-hmm. right? You're able to write it. Your editor's writing it, whatever. And, you know, some of the best folks who know how to do blogging actually are very good at titling things properly. Titles matter too, by the way, and making that permalink actually good. So if you don't hear anything I say, but you do this one thing and you have a blog, which I'm assuming a lot of people do, all you really need to do is be thoughtful about what are people searching for that's going to get them to this content, and make sure your title not only has it, but is aligned with it, and the permalink's aligned with that. So if you're going to talk about sales hacking in a post, and you want that thing to rank for sales hacking, then it might be good to have sales hacking in your title, but in a logical way where you get clicks for the title because it's like, you know, a good title, but you also include it in there and it's included in your URL, because then you're just doubling down on this fact that this is relevant for the search query. Now, if you put sales hacker in there prescriptively like 10 times in your content, that's not going to help you. You're going to want to mix it up and all that kind of stuff. You don't have to. Back in the day, we had to get so scientific about that because it worked, right? Seven keywords on there split up like this. Now, write naturally for a human so they don't bounce from your site. That's number one thing that I would say most people don't think about.
Okay, so this is a lot of good shit in there. Now, let's say I understand the basic concept. I make sure that my URLs are good, my headlines are good, and I write in a way that people want to read it so they don't bounce, right? So now, how do I get more strategic about things? Because so what is the next level up? Is it that I start to look at what are some of the things we write about? Like, do I go back and say, what are the things that we write about anyways? And do these things get traffic? And how could I optimize my stuff to get traffic?
Yeah.
Do I look forward and go research what are some of the stuff that gets the most searches? And maybe I can write something about this. How do I go about that, kind of thinking about search volume as I'm creating content?
All of the above. So when you're, if you've already got a bunch of search traffic or a bunch of content or both, look at everything old, see what's getting a lot of traffic, and update it. For example, on my personal blog, which doesn't get that much traffic, it gets about 20,000 visitors a month. I'm not trying to grow it really. Now I am, but like not interested in like getting to millions of visitors, right? I wrote an article that's about like startup books. Recently, I figured out it gets a lot of traffic from search. So what am I doing? I'm updating it. That's simple. It's not got enough content. Apparently, like, Google likes it. It's relevant. There might not be that many posts about startup books or whatever, I guess. And so I'm going to update it. And if I, as I update it, Google's going to like me more, right? And let more people will stay on the site longer. They're less likely to bounce, things like that. So the simplest trick is go figure out what's working in terms of getting you search traffic. There's some simple ways to do it in Google Analytics. And then go double down on making that content better. Because you might not know what's getting a lot of traffic from search today. And if you don't, and you're not making that content better, then it's easy to lose it. So let's say Tim Ferriss writes about startup books all of a sudden. And I'm outranking him right now. I don't update my post. He posts it yesterday. In about a month or two or sooner, because he's got a lot of traffic and already got a bigger than my site by millions of visitors, I'm sure, he's going to outrank me. And then guess what's going to happen? My traffic will drop. And people don't think about that impact, right? But that's a big one, right? Another one is something a little advanced, but not really that crazy, and it's logical. If you get a lot of social sharing going on, more people get exposed to your content, more people link to your content. Those links lead to Google finding it more. Because remember, Google's crawling the whole web. If more people are linking to your new content and your old content, you're going to get more traffic for it just because Google will find it more often when they're crawling all across the web, and they'll bump your rankings up, right? So it's just like...
Let's talk about that a little bit.
Sure.
The linking part, because that's something, as you said, back in the day, I remember people emailing other people and going, can
they
you please?
They still do it. Yeah.
Right? Okay. I didn't know that. I didn't
know
that.
Oh my God, they still do it. That's so, like secret number one.
All right.
They still, the emails are still effective when you send them out for links. You can't stress that enough.
All right.
Just don't be stupid.
So, so I don't, I wouldn't even know, look how ignorant I am. I wouldn't even know what I, what the hell would I, like, okay, so I understand if I find a blog post that you wrote and it was something around sales and I have an article that's really relevant to be like, hey, could you update your post and include this? I think it would be valuable to your post.
Yeah.
But would I just, but that's the only scenario I can think of. I can't think of like, hey, you have a blog. Can you link to close? Like, for what reason? Where?
So
why?
This is why you see a lot of list posts with links in them.
Yeah, that's interesting.
This is why people update the list posts, because the list posts get traffic. Look, my startup books post is a
list post.
So if you have an awesome book and I know you, why isn't your book on my list post? It's going to help you with search. You know what? It's going to help me too.
All right.
Right. So there's a way to do that. Again, it's more advanced than before because people don't just link like that.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And the black hat side of it is I'll pay you to give me the link.
Yeah.
Right. But there's some sites that always take payment. Like that, like pay for links, and Google's already devalued them.
Devalued them,
and they can tell, unfortunately.
Is most
unless it's just a one-off, which is another trick.
Most of the linking is happening on the blog side of things, I would assume, right? Because people don't really link to other services on their website.
Well, if you have an education resource for sales, and it's on your site, and it's technically not the blog, but it's just like a permanent source,
Yeah, okay.
They can link to that. If you, you know, it's pretty simple. Like, you can learn what's popular, what's not, just by typing in, like, close.io in Google and seeing what the other terms that come up are, right? And then, and so, like, you know, when you type it in, there's a type ahead,
there's a box.
Uh-huh. That's gold.
Yeah.
I would ask you, are you ranked for all those? Are you guys number one for all those? Because what you'll notice is your support site's ranked for some of them, and your blog's ranked for some of them, and your pages on your, you know, your product pages, like, on the features and benefits and all that are linked to them. So once you can figure that out, you're like, oh, all the pages can get search traffic. Mm-hmm. All of them. It's just, are we updating it? Is it designed to get a specific keyword that people are actually searching for? I mean, the most valuable thing about search is that it's intent-driven.
Mm-hmm.
This is why the German thing you were saying makes perfect sense, right? Germans are highly precise. Google is a very precise engine on this stuff, whether people want to admit it or not. It's not as much art as people think. And e-commerce requires high intent for people to convert. So what's the best channel? Buy black shoes. That's typed in Google probably a lot. If you want your site ranking, guess what? You got a site with black shoes. They're going to buy black shoes from it. You just made money.
Yeah.
That's why SEO is such a big deal in e-commerce, period. And, you know, with folks that are really precise about this stuff, they tend to do better.
All right. So what are some – so all this sounds like just – most of it sounds common sense. You just have to be thoughtful about it. Do you – but how do you think about it in terms of a marketing team, a modern marketing team or department today when you – for your SaaS business, let's say, you have a team. Do you have somebody that's an SEO expert or dude? Do you have an intern that just thinks about this and updates everything? Is somebody responsible for this? Does everybody need to just know about this stuff? Like, how do you do this?
I think anyone working on marketing should know about SEO. especially if they're responsible for a website. Mobile is a whole different place. We're not going to talk about that.
Mm.
But on a website, if you're doing anything in marketing, you better know about search and how it works and how your what you work on impacts search, right? Paid acquisition would be a caveat, right? But if it's anything around content, anything around like your website, even product marketing and things like that, you have to account for the fact that Google is a great driver of traffic and you want to be found in Google, right? So, you know, one other thing I would say is we talked a lot about links, right? There's a lot of tricks. Like back in the day, I helped SlideShare like add good anchor text, right, on the links. So imagine on SlideShare, you have a presentation on sales hacking and then there's embeds. Back in the day, people would embed a lot of these, a lot more than today that I can see. So what happened is the embed code would include anchor text that links back to SlideShare. And we'd add it in and it would have certain anchor text. Now that tactic, if all those anchor text say sales hacker going to SlideShare, they're actually not as valued. You need to randomize it and stuff like that. These are more advanced things, but you can produce your own links that way, right?
Yeah.
Like if YouTube needed search, which they don't, because they're plugged right into search, or they were independent,
yeah.
they would have done that back in the day and put the anchor text on every embed. Some people remove it because it's added in and it has to be visible, but most people don't. And so you don't just get traffic back to SlideShare from the people that are embedded on like closed.io blog or whatever, but SlideShare also gets that search benefit. This tactic doesn't work as well anymore, but that can help people think about my idea and intention there is so that people start thinking about creative ways to get links.
Mm.
That's why infographics work so well. Infographics spread really far. People link to them. You can put an embed code for an infographic on your blog and people will actually embed it. And then you'll get more backlinks. That's the game on
yeah.
that side.
Yeah.
I want to talk about content before we're done, though.
Yeah.
So you have to have unique content. This is why blogs work so well. They're naturally gravitate towards, on a blog, you have unique content that other people haven't written about if your goal is to get traffic for it, whether it's search or social. It has to be unique in some way. It has to be better than other things out there. Some people call them evergreen pieces of content.
Mm-hmm.
They're really long.
Yeah.
That's why you're seeing the trend to really long form content, because the longer it is, and the more valuable it is, the longer people stay on it, the longer, you know, I mean, the more value they get out of it, and the more fodder there is on that page for Google to rank you, not just for one term, but many different terms on there, like sales hackers, sales hacking, whatever, right?
Yeah,
stuff like
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
So the key to content, if you want to, just like with links, you have to get creative about how to build links. The anchor text is just the key word, you know, that you're linking to, and that Google's already figured out. If that sales hacker SlideShare has like 100 embeds and 20 of them have sales hacker, they're already going to devalue it.
Mm.
Before they wouldn't. When I was helping SlideShare back in the day, they wouldn't do that, right? It was much more basic. But then now if you're SlideShare and let's say that tactic still worked, you would randomize the anchor text that showed up every time someone visited the site before they embedded it. So I just wanted to explain kind of how that system works.
Yeah.
And in the same way, if you've got users, customers, and you can get them to create content for you somehow, and then you can put them on pages, that's the most unique content you can get, right? Especially
yeah.
if you can get them to write long content. This is why Kuro works so well. It's user-generated content, pops out for search, and they get a lot of search traffic, but it's very unique content that's going on there. Now, if Kuro, let's say, I'm sure they do this or maybe they don't, but if they wanted to get ranked for certain terms, they have a whole community there. They just email their community and say, anyone want to answer this? We'll give you points.
Mm.
Well, they got points.
Yeah.
And they already do this,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It doesn't have to be a human that asks the question. It
yeah.
can be Quora, the system itself, that asks the question, right? And so you can get very strategic about how you create unique content without having to write it yourself. This is also a reason why like compilations of like, if you take 10 posts about sales hacking and compile them into one and write some unique stuff about them, you can outrank some of those individual posts because it's just a better piece of content, even though it was other people's content. It's like the curation model.
Yeah.
There is one issue, which is if you just duplicate someone else's content and they had it first and Google found it there first, your content won't rank, even if your site's really strong, because it's duplicate content. Google really values unique content and they devalue duplicate content they can find in other places on the internet. But back in the day, you could take Wikipedia and Yelp and I don't know, some other site, and then merge the content together and create a page. It still kind of works, but it's not as unique anyways. Because now you've taken multiple pieces of content, put them all on one page, and they're not necessarily always updated or that interesting. So then they're not going to really rank you for that, right? But it used to work back in the day. Another trick that used to work back in the day might still work is I think it was Italian. You take a piece of content that's not yours, like Wikipedia, and then run it through, make it, convert it to Italian, and then convert it back to English, and then tweak it. And then you got unique content. Right? You convert to another language and convert it back. And convert to one where like it works. So people used to do stuff like that, right? Again, like I like thinking about it in more basic terms because all those things are advanced. And for lack of a better way to say it, you can get caught. And you get caught and you lose all that search traffic. And the other thing about Google and their updates before we're done is like they used to update like every year, every quarter. Now the updates are way more constant. They're happening in real time pretty much, something like that, right? That's at least a good way to think about it if you're doing SEO. They're probably not real time, but they're very close, right? And that's because it takes a lot of power to crawl the web. It takes a lot of power to analyze all that stuff, and they've gotten really good at it. And they've realized that by getting good at that, they're always going to keep Google as clean as possible from black hat tactics. So it used to be a war between Google and all these SEOs and your site, you know, if you're trying to get search. Now it's like really create great content that people want to link to. And make sure that content aligns with what people want to read about based on what they type in Google. That's all you got to do. But all that is work.
Yeah.
And so I will end with that unless you have more questions.
No, that's a beautiful way to end. And I'm glad. I thought I would have to fight for the information and kind of suck it out of you.
No
way. But once we got going, you're like, all right, let me give you everything.
Yeah,
you need
why
to
not?
Know.
Yeah.
I love it. Thank you so much, Eden. This was it from us.
Thanks for asking. See ya.